This is a News Radio 1440 podcast.
And good evening, everybody. Thanks so much for being with us here on Tactics, where speech isn't violence, tolerance isn't love, and disagreement isn't hate. So welcome to the program. We do appreciate so much you taking time out of your day to be with us. And as always, we're going to go ahead and start out with our Alabama coronavirus update. Really, there's not a whole lot of news in the sense that there's a lot of news stories going on. It's just an update of the numbers, which do tell a story in and of themselves. So let's go ahead and look at today's coronavirus update from the Alabama Department of Public Health. You can see there the new figures that we have: 1,084 confirmed cases. We have 7,774 total that are tested. Reported deaths, 28, which they're not sure about. I'm sure that they're looking into those. And then 17, we know for a fact, did indeed die from this virus. And if you look at this map, you can tell that really the areas of Alabama that are getting hit hardest, I mean, without a doubt, is the Birmingham area. Madison's getting hit pretty hard from this area, too. Now, I understand that Montgomery and the River region are not as populated, but I do find it interesting that Montgomery County only has, you know, our deaths is only in the 30s right now, and the surrounding counties have even less. And I've just been fascinated by this, and I'm not really sure why or how to make of it. I mean, being somebody that is living in Montgomery, I'm certainly grateful for it, that we haven't had it as bad here as we have in several other places. But ultimately, it is something that, frankly, is a little bit baffling. Now, looking at the overall cases, we have had plus 103 cases since yesterday, and we're going to talk about the new cases and exactly what that means. 17 deaths, that is up 4 from yesterday. So 4 deaths in one day from this virus. It's amazing, isn't it, that it seems like, I don't know, an eternity ago, and maybe that's because we're all stuck at home without a whole lot to do, or at least a good number of us are. And for me, I've had a lot to do, which also makes it seem like, because there's been so much news happening between now and this point in history, that it seems like it's been forever. But it was only a month ago that Alabama had no deaths and no cases. Now, we probably really did have some cases, we just weren't testing for it. But either way, it is really astounding to see that there has been such a ridiculous shift in such a short amount of time. And I think that this really goes back to this idea, because I think that it's wise and healthy to constantly be asking ourselves, are we A, doing enough, or are we B, overreacting? Because I think that both are valid questions and questions that we need to ask ourselves on a constant basis and constantly be taking in new data and try to answer those questions. And it's one that I don't have a good answer for right now. I think that you could make a decent case that what we're doing is overreacting based on the numbers that are here. But if you look at how fast this thing is growing, you could make a pretty decent case that maybe we're not even doing enough to prevent this. So it's one of those things that when you're in the middle of it like this, and because there are some things, some precedents in history that we can look to for a little bit of wisdom on this, but ultimately it's something that is so far outside the norm that it's hard to tell whether we are doing what we should be doing, if the response is about right, if it's overkill, if it's not, you know, ramping up quickly enough. And just based on the numbers, the fact that it is spreading so quickly is something that is kind of staggering. And when you look at it in context about how recent it was that we weren't really even paying attention to the numbers, I think that that puts it, I think that looking at it over the long term like that really makes you think differently about it. So the fact that we had over 100 new cases in one day, and the fact that we broke the 1,000 confirmed cases mark today, is something that is a bad sign. I mean, there's no easy way to put it. 103 new cases in one day, that is the third highest day for new cases that we've had. And there might be a disparity between the amount of new tests and new results, because here's the thing. this is all with a increase in tests that was lackluster compared to previously. And when you have a day where there are fewer new cases, but an increase in tests, that looks really good, like we had yesterday. And then when the opposite happens, where you have a moderate or even underwhelming increase in testing, but not really an increase, anything else, then that becomes something that doesn't look good. So when you sort of put that into context, if the results might be new and bigger numbers tomorrow or Thursday, that's probably because what's happening is there's a lag. And so what you're seeing now is a lapse between the new testing and the increased number of cases. So what is probably going on here is that we had an increase in tests yesterday, and we saw a pretty big boost in confirmed cases today. See, we would kind of like to, from a data perspective, to see them happening on the same day and see them coincide, but that's not realistic because these tests take a little time to figure out whether or not a person actually has it or not, and so we're getting a lag. We had a whole bunch of tests yesterday, not that many confirmed cases. Today we're having the opposite. We're having several new confirmed cases, the third highest we've had in new cases since we started keeping track of this, with only a moderate increase in tests. And so that can look really scary in a vacuum, but if you're looking at the data comprehensively, you understand that, well, what's happening is, and you can look at this with new tests and comparing it to new cases of the virus, what's happening is there's about a day lag. When you have a whole bunch of new tests one day, you have a whole bunch of new confirmed cases the next day. And so that seems to be what the data is telling us, which it still looks bad, don't get me wrong. New cases and having over 100 in one day and having broken the 1,000 mark, it still looks bad. But it looks less bad and less alarming if you understand that aspect of it. So what's with the 17 who died from the illness? Well, that's actually pretty close to norms. Now, granted, going up from 13 yesterday, having 4 people confirmed to have died, that's something that certainly isn't good, but it's about on pace with the rest of the country. And another thing that is important to understand about that is, if you're talking about lag, like we were between the testing and the confirmed cases, that's going to be even more on display when you're talking about deaths, because you're going to have a delay of a long period of time and different periods of time. So at least when it comes to the lag between testing and new cases, it's usually not more than a day or two. The thing about this thing is you could have a death very quickly. For example, somebody test positive with it, but it's somebody that has been symptomatic for a few days, and God forbid this would happen, they die like the next day. But you could also just as easily have somebody that's completely asymptomatic test positive for it, and even if they do wind up dying from the disease, it could be 2 weeks later. And so that's the reason that it's really hard to compare deaths to confirmed cases and look at that, because of course the deaths are going to have a lagging period behind the number of cases. So with that being said, it's unfortunate, but the increase in overall cases means that those deaths that come from those cases are going to come, the majority of them at least, significantly later. And so it's hard to look at this without having the advantage of hindsight. If we're looking at it now while it's happening, that's something that the numbers aren't going to seem to match up. But like I said, this is about on par with the rest of the country. For example, this is not typical of the country, obviously. This is the place where it's the worst. But New York City had 1,000 deaths in a single day. Now think about that. We just now had, not deaths, 1,000 cases in the state of Alabama. The city of New York by itself had 1,000 deaths, not confirmed cases, deaths in a single day. Now, I am fully aware, and I know that I'm going to get comments on this, I am fully aware I'm comparing apples to oranges, and I'm doing so intentionally to show the disparity and also to help you understand, because you can't compare New York City to Alabama because of a number of different environmental factors, because of the fact that they have more people in their one city than we do in our entire state. I mean, there's a myriad of different reasons why that is an unfair comparison, and I'm not trying to compare them. I'm just giving a little bit of insight into how bad a day yesterday that the country had and other places had to help you understand that when we're looking at the numbers that we're looking at right now, they pale in comparison, at least at the moment, to what is going on around here. And so the fact that we had an increase in four deaths, that sounds really scary on its surface, but when you put it in perspective of what is going on in other places, it's not something that is wildly outside the norm, at least if you look at it proportionally. So let's go ahead and look at this other graphic that I put up. Now, I do want to make something quite clear. I actually put this graph together myself, but the numbers came from the Alabama Department of Public Health, so all I did was restructure them into a graphic that would help you understand them. I've been keeping records on this. So this is, and some of this data had to be adjusted, but this is data from the Alabama Department of Public Health, and this is a rate of new cases from the day before. So in other words, I take how many new cases we have each day, compare them to the day before, and this is the graph that we have. And so like I said, this is our third biggest day of new cases in the state of Alabama since we've been keeping track of this. So 100 new cases, again, sounds bad, but we've had 2 days where we actually had more cases than this new cases for that day. And if you look there, we were starting to head in a correct direction. Now it looks like we're starting to pop up a little bit. I don't know what to attribute that to. I'm genuinely not sure exactly what that means. I'm not sure if the reason behind that is because people were following social distancing protocols and other practices and then all of a sudden got tired of it and stopped for a little while. I genuinely don't know. But either way, it's not something that is panic worthy or wildly outside the norm if you're looking at the data comprehensively, but it is something to be aware of that for whatever reason, we have a hiccup in the system that we were moving in the correct direction. We were moving to where we had less new cases a day, and now it is not so. Now, personally, just looking at the data, looking at the models, seeing what is being done right now, it is quite likely, and I actually am predicting, if I had a gun to my head and had to give this prediction, that what we are going to see is by Saturday in the state of Alabama, that's going to be when this state spikes. And by spikes, I mean we go from a increase in new cases from a number of numeric to a number of degrees. In other words, we'll have multiple days where we're going to double or triple the rate that we had from the day before, the number of new cases that we had from the day before. Maybe that's wrong. Gosh, I hope it's wrong. But that's a possibility. The only thing that I think may stop that, because I don't think that we're going to wildly change the behavior of everybody overnight. The people that are sheltering in place and the people that are being very conscientious are probably people that are going to continue to do that and have been doing it since the beginning. You're not going to have a whole bunch of people that are taking this super seriously suddenly not, and you're not going to have a whole bunch of people that have been flippant about it suddenly take it super seriously. So I don't think that you're going to see some kind of erratic behavior shift between now and then, which means, and this is what I'm thinking, based on the models, we're going to see that spike probably sometime around Saturday. But if it doesn't, the only thing that I think may have prevented that, other than maybe divine intervention, which would be great, but I'm predicting what is more likely to happen right now, is that the only thing that may wind up preventing that, and who knows, this may actually be divine intervention as well, is going to be temperature. Because like I've said, there have been several studies that suggest that the novel coronavirus is susceptible to higher temperatures, that it doesn't transfer nearly as well for the same reason that its cousin, the flu, doesn't transfer well in certain seasonal weather, especially when you account for heat and humidity. So it's quite possible we don't know yet because we haven't seen it in action, but there are studies that suggest that this is true. It is quite possible that because Alabama has a warmer climate, that this thing just doesn't transfer as well in the South, and so we'll be largely immune to it as we're going into the month of April. I mean, things are going to really start heating up in Alabama over the next few weeks. That's just the nature of the beast. That's the way Alabama always is. So that may be one thing that prevents that spike. We'll have to wait and see. Now, it looks as though that the deaths are going to have that several days lag. So, you know, God forbid that this is going to happen. I hope that it doesn't, but it looks as though we're going to see, even if we wind up being able to prevent that spike, the deaths are probably going to be tagging along afterward. And so because of that, that's something that is going to be really, you know, scary for us. And you know, there's good reason for it. That's something that is going to look really bad. But what you're going to see is, what you really want to watch are the new cases. If the new cases aren't spiking, in fact, if the new cases are actually going down and the death rate remains roughly moderate, I don't see that happening, but that's a really good sign. But if we see the new cases not spiking and not having that exponential growth that we talked about, but the death rate is still going up, that's probably a result of the cases that we had from a few days ago. So that's not really something to panic about. That does not mean that the virus suddenly got more lethal. It just means that it took a little time for the people who already had the virus to be able to go on and, you know, get serious complications and pass away from that, unfortunately. So, of course, it's horrible to see any human life snuffed out like that. But I'm saying, if you see an increase in the deaths, but you're not seeing an exponential increase in the cases, that means that we're on the downward slope of this. The fact that the death rate is going up doesn't mean that the virus suddenly got more lethal. It just means that it took a little time for those cases that we did have confirmed to take full fruition. And unfortunately, with some people, that will mean the loss of life. That's the way that pandemics like this work. So one thing that I want you to take away from this, because this was a really bad news day, there's just no sugarcoating it. This was not a, it was a day that it's hard to look at and be optimistic for what's going to happen in the future. I hope that it is. But here's the thing that I want to instill in you. Be ready and continue to do the things that you've been doing. It's about to look really scary. It's about to get really scary. However, one thing that I do want to impart to you, and one thing that I want you to take away from this, is that even the worst case scenario, even the worst case scenario that people are predicting right now, and this is a bad scenario, don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to downplay it. The worst case scenario right now is that 250,000 Americans lose their lives to this pandemic. Now that's real bad. And that's going to hurt us as a country. It's going to hurt us economically. It's going to hurt us, I think, of course, emotionally, to see all of that death and destruction. But ultimately, that is 0.0008% of our population. And the reason that I tell you that is not because I think that we just shouldn't worry about it or be flippant about it or anything like that. But I'm saying right now, the absolute worst case scenario is 0.0008% of the population dies. That's real bad, but it's not catastrophic. It's not something that America cannot recover from. In fact, what is far more dangerous is the possible economic consequences of this. Like I was explaining the other day, the economy isn't like a machine that you can just turn off and on. It's like an organism. And you can deny it oxygen or you can deny it food for a while, but you can only do that for so long before it starts doing permanent or at least semi-permanent damage. In other words, damage that it's going to have to deal with for a while and then eventually get over it. And I think that every day that we delay getting the economy back and up and going is one that we hurt the economy more. Doesn't mean I'm saying that we shouldn't do it. Doesn't mean I'm saying that we shouldn't, seriously consider the health implications, because that's, of course, very important, too. I'm just saying that there are other considerations that we have to look at, and we are going to reach a certain point to where we have to get out, we have to get back working, or we're going to pass a point of no return. Where that point is, I honestly have no idea, and I think any expert that's being honest with you, no matter how many degrees in economics they have, would tell you they're not really sure about that either, if they're being honest. They have a guess, and that guess can be helpful, but ultimately, they're not sure either. And so all of us here are kind of scrambling to try to do guesswork, and we're just not sure exactly where that ends up. But ultimately, my point in all of this is the economic impact is going to be significantly worse and significantly scarier than the death rate itself and how many people are going to die from this. Now, there's going to be a lot of people that get really sick, and it's going to be like a really bad flu season. And there's going to be a significant amount of people that do perish from this, like I just pointed out. 250,000 is no small matter, but it's not something that is a death blow to America. We're strong. We've survived things like this before. We're going to survive it this time. That's true of the United States. That's true of the state of Alabama. And so as much as I am worried about the individuals and the people and their safety, I mean, including me, I have two pre-existing risk factors for this thing. I'm not excluding myself from this. I'm just saying that this is something that needs to be kept in mind, that this is not something that is the end of our country as long as we don't shut down the economy for too long. And so I think that one thing that would be helpful with this is to look at some other countries that are doing a completely different approach. Sweden, for example, right now, they haven't shut down their economy at all. They are taking extra precautions. They're trying to distance workers. They're trying to have them wear masks and do all kinds of other things, but they haven't shut down the economy. Now, the advantage of this is we can look to them, see how they're handling it, and then see if that's an approach that we want to take, or if we need to take the approach that we are taking right now, or take something that is even, even more extreme than what we have right now. We're actually on a pretty extreme side of the scale compared to some of the models that I've seen and some of the other approaches that different countries are taking. But the advantage of having other nations to look to is that if it turns out that what Sweden is doing isn't something that is a dire risk to their population and that they can continue to keep the economy rolling, then our partial approach may not have been the best call. So we'll look to that in the next few weeks and try to keep our eyes on that. If there's anything significant that's going on there, I'll try to report it to you. In the meantime, it's a little past 6:30. My church is going to go ahead and start live streaming soon, so I'm going to jump over and attend that. I encourage you all to do the same. You can do it either with your own congregations. If your congregation isn't having a midweek Bible study because of that, I would invite each of you to come and watch the one that I'm about to watch with the Dalrated Church of Christ. You can look on YouTube. Just search for Dalrated Church of Christ. It should be the first thing that pops up. So in the meantime, stay the course, friends.
Tactics with Caleb Colquitt, only on News Radio 1440 and NewsRadio1440.com.